You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Think for a moment about your most deeply held beliefs. Can you remember when you first formed them? Has it been so long that it feels like they've just always been there? Research done by my next guest suggests our beliefs may change for better or for worse without our even noticing. And that is being reflected in public opinions that have shifted since Donald Trump launched his campaign for president. Michael Wolff is here now. He's a memory and learning researcher at Grand Valley State University and recently published the results of an intriguing experiment where he looked into how we change our beliefs. Michael Wolff, welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia. It's great to be here.
What was the question or observation that you wanted to test through your experiment, Michael?
My colleague Todd Williams and I were interested in what happens when people change their beliefs about contentious topics, whether people seem to be aware of changes in beliefs when they happen or if they seem to be relatively unaware of changes in their beliefs.
When you say contentious topics, such as?
We have studied social science topics mostly, so questions such as the extent to which television violence causes you to actually be violent, the extent to which spanking is an effective means of discipline. We've just started new experiments on the effectiveness of gun control and reducing gun violence. So questions where there may be evidence on either side of an issue. It's an important characteristic of our research that there are people with beliefs on both sides of the issue. In the experiment we just published, we looked at spanking effectiveness as a topic. One of the reasons that that works for our purposes is that some people believe spanking is effective, others believe the opposite.
Michael, how did you construct this experiment?
In the first part of the experiment, we had people report their beliefs about a variety of topics. The topic we were interested in was spanking effectiveness. So people reported their beliefs about the effectiveness of spanking on a scale, whether they think spanking is effective or ineffective. A couple of months after this, we had people come into the lab for the actual experiment. Everybody read a text that described evidence about spanking effectiveness, either suggesting that spanking was effective or that it was not. After reading, people reported their beliefs about spanking effectiveness again. Then the critical part of the experiment was people tried to remember what belief they had reported on the questionnaire that they filled out a couple of months earlier. There were two main findings in the study. First was that when people read evidence that was inconsistent with the belief they had initially reported, people did tend to change their beliefs. This did not tend to be wholesale change from one belief to its opposite. Rather, people tended to move from one end of the scale towards the middle. The other effect was that when people tried to remember the belief they had reported earlier, we found a large memory error that people tended to make, in which their memory for their previous belief was much more similar to their current belief than it was to their actual previous belief. So people seem to be acting as if their current beliefs have always been their beliefs. And this is what led us to interpret the results as people being relatively unaware that their beliefs had in fact changed.
So my view may have shifted, but I don't think it did because I don't really remember how I felt before it shifted.
That's right. In order to understand that your view has shifted, you would need to be aware that your old view is different than your current view, and we found that people do not seem to be aware that their old views and their current views are different.
So, Michael, it seems that when we remember something, it's not just like clicking on a Word file on our laptops and opening it up and reading it. What do you think would be a more accurate analogy to when we remember something?
Our results are consistent with a lot of other research on memory that leads to the conclusion that memory is a constructive process, that when we try to remember information, we don't tend to remember it as if we're opening a file on the computer where the information is exactly as we typed it months ago. Rather, when we try to remember information, things that are currently available or aware to us at the time we try to remember things seem to have a strong influence on what we create as our memories. In the case of our experiment, we think that your current belief about an issue has a strong biasing effect on your construction of your memory from the past. And so that current belief is part of what drives your memory of what you used to believe.
If you've just joined us, I'm talking to Michael Wolff, who's a memory and learning researcher at Grand Valley State University, as we talk about his experiment looking into the way we change our mind on a subject that even if we change our mind, we may have a hard time recalling that we ever felt another way. So with that as a kind of a framework, Michael, there was a recent article by Brian Resnick in Fox that talked about your study, and it tracked the beliefs of Republican voters about Vladimir Putin. And just to recap, in 2015, before Donald Trump began running for president, only 12% of Republicans held a favorable view of Russia's president. This is according to a Gallup survey. Now, here we are in 2017, that has jumped up to 32% of Republicans who say they like Putin. And the variable one has to feel is Donald Trump on the campaign trail and in the White House. How does this square with your research? What's going on here?
This squares with our research in that it would suggest that people who change their belief, in this case about Vladimir Putin, may be unaware that their beliefs have changed. In that poll, they don't ask people, did you support Vladimir Putin a few years ago? But if you asked a question like that, you may find that people would say, yes, I've always supported Vladimir Putin. I should mention also that our results are not specific to any political party. These are general conclusions about memory, so they would likely apply equally across the political spectrum.
Certainly.
But they do suggest that when people's opinions change about things like Vladimir Putin, that people may not be aware that those changes have taken place.
So not so much being hypocritical, just honestly not realizing that they've shifted.
That's right. It is quite possible that people appear hypocritical, but are not actually being hypocritical. Often, when people report their opinions on polls like this, there isn't any documentation of what they used to believe. So most of the time, it would be the case that you would have no way of checking if you wanted to know whether your opinions have changed or not. So that would increase the chances that you don't feel that you're being hypocritical, or nobody would say that you're being hypocritical because nobody knows that you used to believe something different.
They don't realize that their views were once different.
Yes, that they may not realize that they used to, for example, read what we would consider mainstream media sources and consider that to be credible information.
What should political pollsters take away from your research, do you think?
That if you want to get accurate information on people's opinions or on their beliefs, you should stick to questions about how people feel or what they believe right now. So if you ask people your opinion about political leaders or issues, people could tell you how they feel at a particular moment. What you should stay away from are questions about whether their opinions have changed. For example, do you feel differently about the president now than you did before the election? Do you think the economy is better than it was a year ago? Those kinds of questions are ones in which you may get inaccurate answers, and not because people are being hypocritical or trying to deceive you, but rather because they just may not remember accurately how they used to feel.
Is there anything, do you think, we could do as a people just to kind of be more self-aware? I guess not have collective amnesia and not be manipulated by anyone.
One possibility, and we have some correlational evidence about this, even though in general people seem to show this memory error in which they're not very well aware of changes in their beliefs, it's always true that some people seem to be more aware than others of these changes. If people are aware that their beliefs change, they may be more open to reading new information or information that they don't agree with. You might imagine a case in which someone says, well, what's the point of reading this particular news source or this particular columnist? I know I'm not going to agree with this information, and I know I'm not going to change my mind, so I should just stay away from this information completely. And people may be mistaken in that their beliefs are more likely to change than they realize. Hopefully, we could get to a point in which we have a better understanding of how to get people to meaningfully engage with information that they don't agree with. Society would benefit in general if people on all sides of the political spectrum would be willing to meaningfully engage with ideas that they don't agree with or with data that might be contrary to their opinions. it's difficult to get people to really grapple with information that they don't agree with. Our research, I think, presents one piece of this puzzle that perhaps one of the reasons people are reluctant to engage with information they don't agree with is that they just think they're not going to change their mind. So perhaps making people more aware of this will help. We need more research to figure that out, though.
More work to be done. Michael Wolff, memory and learning researcher at Grand Valley State University. His latest research can be found in the Quarterly Journal of Experimental Psychology. Thanks for your time, Michael.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.